let's take our hymn books this morning and join the choir as we sing 605. 605, let's stand together as we sing tonight. This morning, it is wonderful to be a Christian. 605, let's sing it out this morning.
Life is purpose now and then.
Sing the last verse together. In the hope of heaven's glories thrills me so.
And the hope of heaven's glories thrills me so.
You may be seated.
Honor the Lord with your song of praise.
together, please. 590 since Jesus came into my heart. Standing together as we sing.
Amen. Let's stand together. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. 590, let's sing it out this morning. 590. This morning, Pastor McDonald's going to come and open our service. Let me give you a couple prayer requests quickly this morning. If you haven't heard as of yet, Mary Mussel went home to be with the Lord yesterday morning. I'm glad that she's at peace today, and she's been struggling with Alzheimer's for the last few years. We got to see her down at Niagara-on-the-Lake in the nursing home, and she was struggling, but we're so thankful she's with the Lord today. We need to remember some that are sick, of course, and remember Janet McPherson was supposed to have surgery on Thursday, and in the process of having surgery, her heart stopped. And they had to revive her, and she's home today, but very weak, and Brother Paul's home ministering to her. Also, Chuck Simmons Jr., yeah, of course, many of you would know him. Mary Simmons is a member here, and Chuck had surgery on Friday. It was supposed to be a catheter and a patch put on, and then they had to open up heart surgery. His lungs filled up with fluid. His heart is very weak. He's in an induced coma right now. He's only 47 years old, and need to pray for Chuck and Leslie and the family. And Mary's going to go up and see him as soon as they'll let people in. But he's been very weak, so let's remember him in prayer as well. And Brother Jim Wilson's dad's not been very good. He's in the hospital still this morning. He went in on Thursday. He's been there ever since, and just struggling with a whole myriad of health issues. And so we need to be in prayer for Jim's dad. He's not very old, 73, I believe. And so we need to be in prayer for him as well. All right, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Pastor McDonald, you come lead us.
Book of Proverbs chapter 9 verse 6 says, "Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding." So I'm so glad that we're here today where we can get God's word and get some wisdom, because we sure need it in this day that we live in. Birthdays this week, Dennis Callhill and Emily Feary are both having a birthday on Thursday, so be sure to congratulate them. Last week, I just announced that on Thursday it was Mary Mussel's birthday, and of course 2 days later she went had her homecoming to be with the Lord. And let me tell you something, it's so sweet when God's saints go into the presence of the Lord. It's such a great homegoing for them. So continue to pray for the family, though, that are left behind. Brother Rob Chernowski, if you'd pray for the offering.
Father, thank you for gathering us here today, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and grace to us. We have many needs, Lord, in the congregation. Most around us are sick. Prayer for the church, Lord, to pray that the comfort. Part of that, or you know, in a special way.
it's time to dismiss our Sunday school children to their Sunday school hour. Hey, I want to tell you this, young people. I was watching you this morning. This is the best you've ever behaved in church, and I'm so thankful for that. Every week they get a little bit better, and that's a wonderful thing. And because we're in God's house, right? And we want to honor the Lord with our behavior, and it's okay to smile, and it's okay to have joy, but we also want to have respect for the Lord. And so I'm so glad that you were so well behaved today. All right, we're going to dismiss with a word of prayer, and we're also going to remember another lady in our church. Martha Lamb is not feeling very well. She's been sick for about a week now, I guess, and just no strength. And so let's remember her in prayer as well as we dismiss. Let's stand this morning, and when we pray, and then we're going to sing 587 in your hymn books, at Calvary, all right? So we're going to sing at Calvary Church, and then young people will be dismissed. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful for these young people today. We pray the Lord you bless each one of them, help them to be attentive to the Word of God. Lord, our teachers need your Spirit's filling today, and so I pray that they might surrender each one, Lord, to your leading and your pleadings in their life, that they might be the very best teachers they can be. And Father, we pray that if there's some young people here today that don't know Jesus as their Savior, that today they might hear the blessed words of the gospel and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior today. Lord, we pray for Mrs. Lamb today. We pray that you bless her at home and help her to get her strength back real soon and restore her health. Thank you for Mr. Lamb that's taking care of her. But Lord, we know that she's in the great physician's hand, and so we trust you with her care. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, young people, you are dismissed. 587.
And oh, the signs I saw. I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all. Then I fell on my knees and cried, Holy, Holy, Holy. I clapped my hands and sang, Glory, Glory to the Son of God. When I the gates to that city, my friends knew me well. They showed me all through heaven. The scenes were too numerous to tell. I saw Isaac and Jacob, Mark, Luke, and Timothy. But I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for me. I thought, I saw my Redeemer, oh glory to God. I bow right down before Him, singing praise to the name of the I clapped my hands and sang, Glory, glory to the Son of God, glory to the Son of God.
Amen. Amen. Let's hear our Bibles this morning. Turn to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. Before we get to our message this morning, I looked up an old hymn this morning that was always a blessing to me. It's not fancy or anything like that. It's not going to high endings or anything, but it's not in our hymn book. But I looked it up, and I had Mr. Judge put it on the screens for us this morning. I'd like you to sing it with me. I hope you know. How many of you know that old hymn, fill me now, Jesus, come and fill me now? And so this is the words. If you don't know it, I guess I'll do a solo, but you join with me on the second verse, all right? It's a great, I can't see the back because it's got the color on it, so I may have to turn and look at this screen, all right? So, but sing with me, all right? Hover o'er me, Holy Spirit, bathe my trembling heart and brow. Fill me with thy hallowed presence. Come, oh, come and fill me now. Fill me now, Holy Spirit, fill me with thy hallowed presence.
Come, oh, come and fill me now.
Who's heard that before? Isn't that a great old hymn? Let's just let that be the prayer of our heart this morning. Let's sing that first verse again and sing it prayerfully and just ask God to fill you with the Spirit. You understand that the Spirit's job was to teach us all things, to guide us into all truth. And if you're coming to listen to the preaching without asking the Spirit of God to help you, you're just listening to a bunch of words. And so allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your hearts today and move upon you. And let's sing that chorus again. We'll sing the first verse. We'll sing it all the way through this time. But join me. You've heard the tune now. Sing it with me.
Hover o'er me, Holy Spirit. Bathe my trembling heart and brow. Fill me with thy hallowed presence. Come, oh, come and fill me now. Fill me now, fill me now. Holy Spirit, fill me now. Fill me with thy hallowed presence. Come, oh, come and fill me now.
Second verse.
Thou canst fill me, gracious Spirit, though I cannot tell thee how. But I need thee, greatly need thee. Come, oh, come and fill me now. Fill me now, fill me now. Holy Spirit, fill me now. Fill thy sacred feet I bow. Bless divine eternal Spirit, fill with power and fill me now. Fill me now, fill me now. Holy Spirit, fill me now. Fill me with thy hallowed presence. Come, oh, come.
Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and thankful that you have sent your Holy Spirit to help us and to guide us and to teach us. And so, Father, we pray that he would fulfill his ministry in our lives today and teach us the Word of God. Father, I need to surrender to him, and so I pray that you'd fill me and I allow my life to be controlled by you. And Father, that's easier said than done. And Father, we are sinful in flesh. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be cleansed, to be right with you, that I can be filled. And Father, may each one of us have the same Spirit of God filling us today, that we might learn the words of this blessed book. And Father, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32 this morning. Look at verse 24. We've been talking about prayer a week ago Wednesday and all day Sunday last week, and also as I've been studying prayer, I've been studying the book of Genesis and reading through and studying it and taking my time, and I'll be honest with you, I am not one to read my Bible through in a year. I know that that's the thing you have to do, every Christian. If you don't read your Bible through the year, you're a failure. I don't believe that. I try to read with understanding. And so I will take the book of Genesis, and I'll stay there for months and just read it over and over. Last year, I committed just reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, over and over and over again. I want to learn more about Jesus. And so let me say this. If you're reading just to keep a schedule, but you're not getting anything from it, that's not helping you. Make sure you read with understanding. The Bible says, in all thy getting, get understanding and get wisdom. And so read the Bible, take your time. Chew it up. I can't get past a verse some days. I get into a verse and I have to look up every word, what it means, and understand it. And that's kind of what happened this week in Genesis 32. And I see such a wonderful picture of prayer in Genesis 32. Now, the Bible says in verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Let's pray again. Father, we are thankful again for your scriptures, and we pray that you'd bless it to our hearts now. Guide our thoughts and our minds through this passage, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Jacob really from his birth has been a bit puzzling, hasn't he? It seems like his entire life he tried to get ahead. And by the way, his name Jacob means supplanter, or one who tries with force to take the place of another. We've heard of, in the Bible, we see sometimes a king is deposed. Well, the person that deposes them or knocks them off their throne is called a supplanter, or somebody that with force or with a strategy tries to take their position. And Jacob, his entire life was doing that. And I would suggest to you today that he never needed to try. God told his mother right while he was still in the womb that the elder shall serve the younger. This was already God's plan. There was no need. But so often we take what we think God's plan to be into our own hands and try to make it right. Didn't Abraham do that? Abraham was promised a child, and for years he doubted God. And so finally he birthed Ishmael with Hagar the handmaid, railing against the plan of God and going against God's will. But God blessed Ishmael anyway, made him a father of 12 princes and 12 tribes. And so God often blesses in our disobedience nonetheless. But Jacob was an odd one. The Bible says when he was born, he had a hold of the heel of Esau. Later, you'll remember that Esau came in from hunting one day, and as he was hunting, he got real hungry. And he sold his birthright to his younger brother Jacob just so he could have a little bit of pottage or a bowl of soup. Yet a little bit later on, we see that his father was getting a little bit older. Isaac was aging, and so he decided that it was time to give his blessing to his son Esau. But Rebekah and Jacob connived together and made a plan, and they deceived Isaac, and the blessing went to Jacob instead. Well, the Bible, the way Rebekah describes it, is Esau had great fury. He was livid, he was angry, and he despised his own birthright, but now his brother had taken this blessing from him. And so Rebekah, again, not wanting to go to Jacob and confess, or to Isaac and confess what she had done, connived another plan. And she said to her husband, she says, well, lest our son Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of Heth. Heth was a son of Canaan, and Heth was the father of the Hittites. He said, I don't want Jacob to take a daughter there. Let him go back to my father's house, Bethuel, to my brother Laban, and take of the daughters of Laban, my brother. And you think about that, young people. He was to go back and to marry one of his cousins. But in those days, that's how they kept bloodlines pure and they kept nations pure. And so he went back to Paddan Aram, and there he fell in love with Rachel. Now there was a problem. There were two sisters. One was named Leah, and the Bible said she was tender-eyed. That's the Bible's kind way of saying she didn't look so good. She wasn't as pretty as Rebekah, who the Bible also said was beautiful of countenance. In the very same verse, you have the description of Leah and the description of Rachel, and what a terrible thing to be compared in that sense. But the Bible is very plain, and it wasn't trying to be unkind and just say, well, she was ugly. It says, so she was tender-eyed. Jacob loved Rachel, and so he worked for 7 years to earn her hand in marriage. And when the 7 years was up, they had their great wedding night, and Leah was put in her place. You see, what goes around comes around sometimes. And Jacob had supplanted his brother two different occasions, but now Leah supplanted her sister Rachel and took the place of bride and went into his tent in the dark and became his wife. And it wasn't until the morning that he realized what had happened.
He went to Laban. He said, what have you done to me? He says, well, he says, you've gone against the customs of our country. That's very important, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But mark that in your minds. It's very important. Laban was upset. He says, it cannot be so in our country. We have a custom here. We have rules here. And we have to give the oldest daughter first. And so Leah was given. But he says, if you'll fulfill her week. And the Bible says that Jacob gladly worked another 7 years, and it didn't seem like any time at all. And he took Rachel to be his wife also. Now, we struggle with understanding that, don't we? Why would God allow him to have two wives? Well, we'll just believe the Bible. And God allowed him to have these two wives. Well, several more years passed, and they've had several children. As a matter of fact, they've had 12 up to this point. A lot of times people say, well, he only had 11. The Bible says he had 11 sons, but we always forget Dinah, the daughter. There was 12 children, and Jacob went to his father-in-law Laban. He says, I think it's time that we move out and we start our own. And so you'll remember the stories of how Jacob breeded the flocks and got all kinds of cattle and all kinds of goats and sheep to himself. And God began to bless him. And finally, it was time for him to leave. But it wasn't with his father-in-law's blessing. But God had promised him that all would be well. That he would bless him and he would make of him a great nation. He gave him the same promise that he gave Abraham. So Jacob began to head back to Canaan, and Laban pursued after him. But finally, Laban's heart was broken. And he says, why would you steal away in the night? Couldn't I even at least say goodbye to my daughter and my grandchildren? And Laban finally came to his senses and allowed his children to go. They came back into Canaan, but they had one more obstacle, didn't they? How can I face Esau? What am I going to do? Now, Jacob's life at this point had caught up with him a little bit. And now he had burned some bridges. He'd caused some hurt in his family. And as much as Jacob we look at, and by the way, I want you to understand, at this point in his life, he's over 60 years old. He's quite an age. The Bible says that he took Rachel as his wife when he was 40, and they didn't have a child till they were 60. And so he's quite an age. And so he's coming back, and he still has not learned some very important life lessons. Because the Bible says he sent a messenger to find Esau, and when they found Esau, he says, your brother wants to see you. And the messenger returned to Jacob, and he said this. He said, Esau also is coming to see you, and 400 of his men. Guess what the Bible says next? Then Jacob feared. Here is a man that, for all intents and purposes, we look at as one of the fathers of Israel, don't we? We often say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he is mouthed in those words of those great men of God. And we look at Jacob. But can I suggest to you something this morning? That up until the point of this story, when he's about 60 years of age, Jacob has done nothing in his life but on his own strength. Now, don't get me wrong. God has blessed him time and time and time again. Isn't God's grace amazing? That even when we think we can do something, God blesses us. Even when we try to go in our own strength, God shows his mercy. Even when we feel like, well, we'll separate the cattle and I'll build a great herd, God blessed that thing. And God blessed him because he had a promise that he had made. By the way, I'm so thankful that God made me a promise. Because if God had not made me a promise, let me tell you, he would have forsaken me a long time ago. But he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible said this, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting. I'm so thankful for those promises or I'd be lost today because of my sin. And God had continued to bless Jacob because of the promises that he made. And we often look at Jacob and say, well, this was a great man of God. Let me ask you this. Why did he burn so many bridges? Why was he such a fearful man? If he was such a godly man, why was he getting up in the middle of the night and sneaking off with all that he had to leave Laban? The Bible says that furthermore, he went on and they came to the brook of Jabbok. And there he separated his family. He took Leah and her sons, and he put them on one side, and he took Rachel and her sons and put them on the other side, and he took the handmaids of each and their children and put them on either side as well, and he divided them up, and he said this, if Esau comes and these 400 men fall upon one of my families, at least the others will know and they'll be able to escape. Very little faith. Did not God say, come back into the land, it'll be okay, and I will bless thee? But during that night, as they were waiting to meet with Esau, something extraordinary happened. Jacob went over the brook, and the Bible says he was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now, some will say, well, a lot of times I hear this preached that it's called praying, that Jacob was praying as he wrestled with this man. You'd be absolutely right. Some would disagree with that, but Hosea chapter 12 and verse 4 says this. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. If you read the rest of that passage, it's talking all about Jacob. He was praying that night. His sorrow in his soul was in such a way that the Bible called it supplication. He was weeping and crying out to God and groaning in his spirit. And now that he was alone, he finally prayed and he turned to the Lord. And I think in this moment, there was an admission, finally, God, I've done it in my strength for so many years. I've climbed over the back of Esau to get a birthright. I've stepped upon him once again to steal his blessing. I've come down here and I've worked for 7 years to get a wife, and then I worked another 7 years to get Rachel, and I bred all these flocks, and in his own strength for years. Do you know what the name Jacob means? It means supplanter. I told you what supplanter means. It means to overthrow with designed force. And so he was one that in his mind designed these and connived these plans from time to time that he would go and take what he wanted in his own strength. That's why later on it's so important that we note that the angel said, what is thy name? And he changed his name to something else. Very important. But look, as he got alone with God, I want you to notice, first of all, his prayer. His prayer. His prayer this morning, I want you to notice, first of all, was a persistent prayer. Verse 24, the Bible says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. All night he wrestled. All night he held on to that angel. He would not let go. There was something in his nature, in Jacob's nature, that said this, I always want to win. I always want the victory. I think if we were to characterize Jacob's life, I think that's maybe the conclusion we might come to this morning, is that Jacob was always wanting to win. He was always wanting to be out front. He was always wanting the best of everything. Maybe you've got that kind of nature. I don't know. I kind of got that nature a little bit. I like to win. I don't like to lose. How many of you like to lose? Well, I just play for... You liar. Winning's fun. Amen. I mean, come on. My kids, I play them when they were 2 and 3 years old. We play checkers or something, and one time one of them said, Dad, you always win. I said, that's right. Amen. I'm not going to give up and let the kids beat me. I tell you what, the day we were used to, the boys when they were little, they wanted to play hockey on this game thing, and whenever they got to beat me, I was done. I don't play very much anymore because they can beat me now. But man, we'd run a race, I'd want to outrun them. Back by the time they were about 2, they could beat me. I want to win. But you know, when it comes to spiritual things, that's where we ought to want to be to have the victory. That's where we need the victory the most. And so Jacob wrestled all night long. He understood there came a night in his life where he understood, you know what, God, I've climbed over the backs of so many people to get where I am, but finally I realize there's 400 men descending upon me, and Esau is angry with me, and these people might kill me, and my wives and my children. What am I going to do? And he just grabs a hold of that angel and says, I guess I better just hold on. I better wrestle with you for a while. I better prevail. Can I suggest to you something today? Would you learn that lesson before you get to be 60? Young people, you can learn that lesson today. Learn from the mistakes of Jacob. Don't wait till you're older. Listen, understand what it means to grab a hold of God and hold on to pray. That word supplication, Hosea, is a groaning of the spirit. It's a brokenheartedness. No doubt in this case, it was generated by Jacob's past and his fears. You realize now he had to face what he had done. The victory that he saw was restoration with his brother. The victory that he saw was a return to his homeland to see his family once again, his mom and his dad. But he understood that to fight this final battle, to cross this last threshold, would mean he couldn't do it on his own anymore. You know, that's a wonderful place to get to. What a wonderful place to get to when we finally say, I don't have any strength of my own, but I'm going to trust Christ. Jim, I hope you don't mind me sharing what happened with your dad. Is that okay? Just a great illustration. The other day, Jim went to see his dad, and we were talking about it, the hospital. And Garnet had made a profession of faith back when he was a teenager, maybe, over at Maple Street. He was good friends with Bob Stone and had gone to church, I guess, and made a profession of faith. The other night, he was talking about his problems with his son and all the things that were going on in his body and what the doctors were doing and what people were saying, and here's how to help this situation, that situation. And Jim wisely said to him, have you ever thought about praying, Dad? And Mr. Wilson said, reached out his hand and says, no, but I'd sure like to try. What a great opportunity when we get to the place we realize there's only one place to turn but God. That's where Jacob was on this night. He wrestled and he wrestled because he realized if I let go, if I give up, if I don't get the blessing of God, I may surely die tomorrow. And so he held on. The nature of his prayer was a persistent prayer, but I also want you to see it was a prevailing prayer. Verse 25, the Bible says, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, the angel could not prevail against Jacob. And later on, the Bible says in verse 28, he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. He prayed until something happened. We used that as an acrostic one year. I think it was in 2002. Our motto for our church was push through in 2002. And the word push stood for pray until something happens. Don't quit. Keep praying. Keep reaching out for God. I'm picturing that woman with the issue of the blood, and she was weak, and the Bible talks about the people that were thronging Jesus, and you say, why did she only want the hem of his garment? I think it was all she could do to fight through the crowd and reach out and grab that garment. But she kept going until she got what she needed. That's prevailing prayer. That's having victory with God. Keep praying until something happens. Sometimes we pray once or twice and we quit, but listen, keep praying. The Bible, the word prevail literally means this. He had enduring strength. Now, I don't think his strength was physical. Now, it took some physical strength, but how many of you know that angel could have just went and Jacob could have gone flying? I mean, it wouldn't have taken much. He could have just blown at him and he'd just fly away. The angel knew exactly how much stress and pressure to put on his life. Doesn't the Bible say something about that? God knows how far we can be tempted. But with the temptation, he provides a way of escape. And so Jacob held on to that angel and he fought with that angel. Well, I think his physical strength was gone. I think that the pain in his leg when the angel touched his thigh. And have you ever had a joint that's been come disjointed? Have you ever had that, dislocated something? Well, that's a painful thing. And so I'm sure he was in a lot of pain, and his strength after wrestling all night was just physically ebbing away. But spiritually, he understood, I have to hold on. I have to prevail. Listen, you may lose strength physically, and you may think you can't go on, but don't lose strength spiritually. Keep praying. Keep trusting God. Our help cometh from the Lord. And so we must pray without ceasing. His prayer was a persistent prayer, and it was a prevailing prayer. I also want you to see, secondly, his plea. First of all, it was a plea for God's blessing. For his entire life, Jacob thought he could get ahead on the backs of others. Not just his brother and his father, but in despising the customs of another land and taking the youngest daughter. But God now humbled him. Now he's facing the death of his entire family. At least that's what he's thinking. He hears about these. What would you think if somebody's coming to visit you and they're bringing 400 soldiers with them? You would think there's trouble, wouldn't you? And so, rightfully, I believe Jacob's worrying about what's going on. And so he begins to plead with God. God, I need your blessing. My family may die tomorrow, and I've split them up to try to hide some from the other that some might escape. But maybe, God, they'll all die tomorrow. So he begins to plead with God for his blessing. So he had the attention of the angel, and he could have asked him for anything. Can you show me in the Bible where he ever even says once, God, would you spare the lives of my family? God, would you spare my life? God, would you protect my wives? God, would you protect my children? God, would you take care of my livestock? I think what we see in the scripture this morning, Jacob has come to the point where he understands that God knows what's best for me. And so he simply says, God, bless me. What does that mean? The Bible says we have not because we ask not. Shouldn't we be specific in our prayer? Shouldn't we get... Listen, there comes a point in your life where you don't know how to pray anymore. You understand? Have you ever had one of those situations where, God, I just don't know what to say. God, I don't know how to pray. God, I don't know what your will is, and I don't want to... Sometimes we stand at the bedside of somebody that's dying, and we look at it, and we say, God, should I pray for healing, or is that not your will? God, should I pray for them to go home, to stop their suffering? So we just have to put it into God's hands, don't we? And that's what Jacob did on this night. He didn't ask for protection. He didn't ask for deliverance. He didn't ask for his family to be established. He just simply said this, God, just bless me. Just bless me. I'll leave it up to you. I'll let you take care of the consequences. I know I've burnt bridges and I know I've blown it, but God, you just take care of it however you see fit. You know, so often I think we tell God the answer to our prayers like he doesn't know. God, I got this financial issue, but if you'll just give me $1,000, I'll be fine. What if God wanted to give you $10,000? Boy, you'd be in trouble, wouldn't you? God, I got this medical problem, but if you just reach in and I'll be okay. What if, like Paul, God is trying to teach you that his grace is sufficient? We just need to learn to trust God. God, just bless. Just take care of us. Take care of my needs. God, you know what they are. And allow him to intercede on your behalf. His plea was a plea for God's blessing. And I believe it was also a plea for God's mercy, for it was the fear of his brother that brought him to this place. Do you know that somebody has said this? There's a prayer that God never says no to. And it's when we plead for mercy and for grace, God always answers. And he always gives grace. I want you to see thoroughly this morning the principles that we can learn. First of all is this, the principle of prevailing strength. Look at verse 27. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Now, look at verse 30. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face. This wasn't just any angel, was it? This was the angel of the Lord. Some would say it's the pre-incarnate Christ. I don't know, but it was some sort of earthly form of the Lord in angel form. He says, I have seen God face to face. It wasn't just some angel. It was God. So he held on to him and he asked him to bless him and he began to plead with him. And here's the principle. Let me ask you this. Do you think God knew who he was? Sure he did. Do you think he knew his name? Just as sure as he knows your name. Hairs on your head are all numbered. He sees the sparrow that falls. He knows your name. He knows your name. Let me ask you this. Even if this were not God, if this were just some angel, do you think he might know his name? I mean, God is a God of order, isn't he? And if God is giving an assignment to an angel, go down there and wrestle with, he might know his name. So he said, why did he ask his name? He said, what is your name? Because for a moment in his life, he'd have to stand up and say, I'm Jacob. I'm the supplanter. I'm the one that climbs over the backs of other people to take what isn't maybe rightfully mine. Had I just been patient and waited, God would have given it to me because he promised my mom that the elder will serve the younger. God had a plan for my life, but I had to go and trick my brother out of a birthright, and I had to go deceive my father out of a blessing. I had to sneak away from Laban in the night when he would have actually blessed us and encouraged us. But I just take what I want over the backs of everybody else. Can you imagine? But upon that admission of who he really was, that's when God changed his name and made him something else. The Bible says in verse 27, and he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men and hast prevailed. The word Israel means God prevails. No longer are you going to be the supplanter, Jacob. You're not going to go in your own strength anymore, but instead you're going to go in God's strength. God's going to win the battle. Listen, think about this. There's 400 men marching against him, and Esau is out in front, and Jacob has to go up and say, "Hi, I'm Jacob." "Oh, is that right?" And 400 men begin to laugh. "You think that you're going to supplant all of us. You think you can win this battle." But now he gets to go and meet his brother and say, "I am Israel," which means God is now in control of my life. God prevails. Which title has more humility? Obviously, it's Israel. When he says, "Now God's in control." Look at the second principle I want you to get this morning. Listen, when we humble ourselves before God, we can all be called Israel. I don't mean that in some goofy sense. I just mean to say that God will prevail in our lives. God will give us the victory. He can overcome. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you can have victory through the faith in Jesus Christ. But look at the next principle I want you to get. The principle of prevalent reminders. Look what the Bible says in verse 31. "And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh." The word halted just simply means what you think it means. It means he limped. He had a prevalent limp. "Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank." Here's the second principle, and I think it's important that we get it. God got his attention. But not only did God get his attention by helping him understand that he had burned a lot of bridges doing it his own way over the years, and he had caused a lot of hurt and a lot of anger, and the Bible says he caused fury against him because of the way he thought he should handle things. But now before he goes to this last battle, he spends a night in prayer, wrestling with the angel, seeking God's blessing, and God finally teaches him, Israel, God will prevail. God will win your battles. But because of him being so stubborn and taking it so long to learn, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and for the rest of his life, he would limp. I don't know about you, but usually we limp because of pain, because of hurt. There'd be that reminder for the rest of his life, every time he took a step, God prevails. God can have victory. I need to let God fight my battles. Let me ask you, has God ever got your attention? There comes a time in our lives sometimes where we just think that we can do everything in our own strength, and God has to come down and dislocate something in our lives. For Jonah, it was a whale. For Jacob, it was a dislocated leg. And it reminded him constantly. Paul, the Bible says, had a thorn in his side that he would understand, and he would be humbled before God, and that he would understand that God's grace is sufficient. You know what the words he uses are? "Unless I be exalted above measure." Listen, Jacob did far more with his life for God after Genesis 32 than he ever did before. Certainly God blessed him, and God did bless him despite his sin. But after he understood that he was Israel and God prevails, God used his family and blessed him in a great and mighty way. Well, look down in chapter 33. Something changed in the life of Jacob because of his night of prayer. In verse 1, the Bible says, "And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men, and he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel, and unto the two handmaids, and he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost." Who was his favorite? I guess you can see that. "And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept." First of all, we see that prevailing prayer changed the heart of Esau. He was no longer furious. I'm going to tell you, when we get angry with somebody, it usually cooks within us until we have the chance to deal with it. Do we have the chance to tell them how we're feeling? Do you know there had been no chance for these two men to talk for all these years? And Esau came and just hugged him and wept on his neck. And he loved him. God prevailed. Prayer will change our heart's attitude and make us right with him. Now look at verse 5. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, "Who are those with thee?" And he said, "Jacob, the children which God hath graciously given," look at those next two words, "thy servant." Now wait a minute. Didn't he have the birthright? Didn't he get the blessing? Hasn't God been giving him all these children and wives and riches? And what a night of prayer changed his attitude too, didn't it? Didn't just change Esau, but it also changed Jacob. Now he's coming to Esau, and he could come and say, "Well, I've got the birthright, and all this is mine. My father blessed me, and all this is because he blessed me." He said, "No, God has graciously given this to thy servant." He humbled himself underneath Esau. Said, "I'm here to serve you. I'm here to be a blessing to you. I want to come home, and I want to be your servant." That's what prayer will change. It'll change our heart. It'll change our attitude. Listen, let me say this. Don't allow it to get to the point where God has to remind you. Jacob limped the rest of his life. I'm wondering if as they were walking back and they were talking and Jacob's kind of limping and Esau, "Where'd you get that limp? What happened? Did you have an injury? Did you fall? Did you..." "Well, let me tell you about last night. Let me tell you what I learned." And by the way, he learned it just in time, because the next day he had to face his brother. Listen, sometimes we need to learn these lessons, but we can learn them from Scripture. Praise the Lord. If we would just learn from Jacob and understand what God has done. Now, I called the message this morning, "The Face of God." The Face of God. Look back in verse 30 of chapter 32. "And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." There was a feeling among the Jewish people that they could not look upon God or they would certainly die. You'll remember that God allowed Moses to see his hind parts, but he could not see his face, or the threat, of course, was he would die. This was not just a myth. This was a truth rooted in Scripture and what God had taught the people. But Jacob says, "I've seen God. I have not died. My life is preserved." You know, Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says we can go boldly in the throne room of grace. I might not be able to see him through physical eyes, but through spiritual eyes, we can meet with the Lord every day. You have that privilege. And sometimes we wonder what would happen. And you say, "Well, prayer, what do you mean prayer? What do you mean prayer? Why does prayer really work?" Listen, prayer will change the heart. And you know, that's really 99% of our problems in our lives is our heart's attitude. If we will just pray and ask God to change our heart, then the situation gets a whole lot better. Remove some pride, remove some stubbornness, and humble ourselves before God. It's amazing what God can do. Jacob, on that last night, humbled himself. But it took an angel to wrestle with him physically, and it took his leg to be disjointed. Is it going to take that for us? Or will we come boldly to God and seek God's perfect will for our lives? Notice all he said, "Just give me a blessing. I'll let you take. From this point on, you're in control. I'm not going to tell you anymore what I need. I just want you to take control and bless me." Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. Let me ask you this, friends. Have you put your entire life in God's hand today? Are you trusting him like Jacob did? Boy, it took Jacob a long time. And if you study his life, you'll find out I'm telling you the truth. His very name means to try to take by deception or force, to overthrow, to take control. And he lived up to his name, grabbed his brother by the heel. He bought his birthright, taking advantage of his brother's hunger. He deceived his father with his mother's help and stole the blessing of God. But now it had come back to bite him. He'd burned his bridges, and now he was going to pay the price. And finally, he falls on his face before God. And the Bible says in Hosea chapter 12, with supplication and weeping, He pleaded with God on that night. I imagine there was some time he said, God, I know I've messed up. I know I've burnt my bridges. Would you forgive me? I know that Esau's furious with me. Would you soften his heart? But finally, at the end of his prayer, Genesis only records this. He just simply says, bless me. A total surrender, saying, God, you're in control. I'm putting my life into your hands, and I'm going to just trust that you know what's best for me. Have you done that with your life? Because he does know what's best for you. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust him. Let's stand to our feet this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The piano is going to play. The altar's open. If God would move upon you to come here, pray where you are. Let's do business with God this morning. Do you want God's blessing? It comes through prayer and surrender and trusting God. With me this morning. I think Brother Judge might have it on the screen in a moment. We're going to sing that song, I Need Thee Every Hour, 456. 456. There, it's on the screen, so you can look up.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like mine can
seated. Let's sing the third verse. We're waiting on some for a baptism this morning. Let's sing the third verse together.
I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee.
About ready. This morning, Jade Gulley is going to be baptized. She accepted Christ as her Savior a few years ago, and at that time, she wanted to be baptized. We went over to Port Dover and talked to her parents, and her mom said no, and not because she was opposed to baptism in any way. She's always supported our church in a great way, but she says, I want to see a change in her life. Well, let me tell you, we've seen a change in her life, and it's been exciting to see Jade grow, and she sits over in the second or third row every week, and she's smiling ear to ear, and just a real blessing. It's good to see our young people growing, and Jade has been no exception, and just
in leaps and bounds growing, and we're so thrilled for her. She's getting involved in different things in the church and just an exciting young lady. So you pray for Jade as she takes the step of obedience. We're so thankful today. And they've gone back and talked to her mom. She says, yes, we've seen a change in her. Isn't that great when the world sees a change in people that get saved? And that's what it's all about. So Mr. Baker's going to baptize. I like Mr. Baker to baptize the teenagers. It's good for him to build a relationship with them. And so he's going to baptize this morning. Ministry. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord for that. Poor Dover bus. Coming for several years. We're so thankful for the Gully family. All right. We're going to have Pastor McDonald's going to come with a few announcements this morning. Let me share something with you. Just funny. Can I do that? Would that be all right? We can laugh, enjoy each other? All right. This morning, Ron's a good guy. He's my buddy. And he came in the door and his collar was up. And I said this, and I think this is good. I said, Ron, I said, let me fix your collar. I said, you look like Elvis Presley. And he said, oh no, that's bad. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen.
Woo. All right. Careful, Ron. You're starting to sound like Elvis now. Don't get too excited. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, hear the preaching, humbling ourselves to God, and actually seeing someone who's willful and wanting to obey the Lord and believer's baptism. Just a couple of announcements before we dismiss. Excuse me. And that is, I just want to remind you that we are having, it's in the bulletin, we're raising money for the Burying Precious Seed. Mentioned it last week. I want to mention it again. I want to stress this. It's very important. If you want to just put a designation on an envelope and just put it in the offering plate, please do so. These help. They're already printed. It's just we need to pay for the postage and that to get the Bibles, the John and Roman Bibles, out to places of Ontario. Especially right now, we're starting in Northern Ontario. We want to reach the world because for some reason we just lost faith in the government to preach the gospel. It's up to us. It's up to church people. And Brother Stone, Pastor Stone, will be coming by on October 19th, and we're just praying now that we'll just be able to fulfill our commitment. We've challenged individuals and other churches across Canada to give into this worthy effort. So I just encourage you to do that. Also, if you want to volunteer for the booth, we have a lot of names have already put up, but we still have room. If you want to just contact the office, talk to Cindy, and we'll plug you in somewhere. The sooner the better. It's only a couple of weeks away. It's hard to believe. We're right into the thick of fall. And the fair's coming, and we really want to have a good push and get out into the community that way. Also, tomorrow, just want to announce, tomorrow is for the Academy students, we're having picture day, and so brush your teeth. Will you do me a favor? Just brush your teeth. We're not going to see it. It's just that, man, lately, you know, it's been bad. Comb your hair, brush your teeth, look presentable, because we want people to see the best of you, and I'm sure you do too. So just a reminder in that. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, I thank you again, Lord, for the witness of this baptism. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be with Jade, Lord, and just bless her in her life. And Father, just fill her with your power, and may she be faithful to you. And Father, obedient to her parents. And Father, we just also ask that you'd be with all of us. We all need to submit to you in so many different ways. And I know myself as well, Lord. Help us to continue to grow, to be more like your Son through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You are dismissed. See you tonight.